Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast. We hope you've recovered from a busy week at the Cheltenham Festival. We're back for some more cracking jumps action across England, Scotland and Wales this weekend. We'll be having five races to look at Kelso, our feature meeting of the weekend. We're going to Newbury for two races and Bangor as well. But before we get stuck in to this weekend's action, let's have a quick look back on last week. The Cheltenham Festival, a brilliant week on the track, a week full of surprises. Winning that for mine and Keith Melrose's postcast on our special show. That was good. Let's just have a quick word with you, Robbie. You mentioned that Supreme earlier a few weeks ago. It was a good start to the Cheltenham Festival for Robbie Wilders.
Thank you very much, mate. Yeah, it was. Kopeck just took the pressure off early doors. And then it was sort of, I was up and down for most of the week. And then I finished with Waddo, Antipost and the Martin Pipe. So yeah, overall, pretty happy with that one.
Bookended the Cheltenham Festival, as they say. And we've got a new face on the postcast, as you'll see in the bottom left. This is Harry Wilson. I'm sure you've seen all his tips on the Racing Post. No pressure, Harry, but we've built you up for your first show. Harry, what was your takeaway from the Cheltenham Festival? Great week. A tough week to be a tipster, but some really good racing.
Yeah, the racing was definitely the highlight, James, especially on the Wednesday. Obviously, I don't think you could have written Marine National followed by Jazzy Matty. The Michael O'Sullivan double, definitely some emotion pouring from the stands there. Yeah, as you mentioned, tipping-wise, it wasn't the easiest, but Jazzy Matty was one of mine, and it saved what otherwise would have been a relatively quiet week.
Yeah, let's go to you, Brett. We know the association Unibet has with the Nick Henson stable. Really mixed week. There was a few surprise winners in there. Dolly the Great winning in particular. But obviously, it must be such a deflating move with Constitution Hill and John Bond both really failing to get their big days. What's the sort of reaction from the camp?
Just that's racing, I think, really, James, to be honest. You know, if you would have said sort of 10 days ago that, you know, your Madbras, your John Bonds, your Constitution Hills, you know, all the big galloping Deschamps would all be beaten, you know, people have thought I was absolutely mad. But no, for me personally, it started off quite nicely. I co-pet the boards in the Supreme, followed up with Django Bay in the Arcall. I thought, God, this punting game's easy. And then we all saw what happened in the Unibet Champion Hurdle, and it was all downhill from there. But no, it was a great week. It really was. It went by, you know, in the blink of an eye. I couldn't believe how quickly it went by. But you know, on the sort of the plus side for me, I didn't sort of get too many winners personally. But it was a reasonably good week for the bookmakers. So at least it means I get paid for this month's work. So you know, all is not lost.
Right, Brett, we are going to get you back. We are going to get you back. It might not be the Cheltenham Festival, but it is a very good Go Racing North series this weekend at Kelso, where we start in the 1:15, the Ladbrokes best odds guaranteed on rating handicap chase. And a quick spin through the market. We've got Dare to Shout at 7-4, Cadell and Pulligan Green at 4s, Your Own Story at 5s and Mr. Incredible at 12s. Harry, the podcast newcomer, what do you like in our first?
Yeah, I've had a look at this race. I found it really interesting that Mr. Incredible has seen a horse psychologist. We found out from Sandy Thompson. I thought that was really fascinating. So it'd be interesting to see if he's actually shipped any of his quirks. But he's keeping the weights down for the rest of them, which is good news for my selection, Cadell. I really love the way he jumped when he won at Wetherby a couple of starts back. He won at Kelso over hurdles. And he also chased home Kerry Hill, who won the River Don on his next start. Handicap has been quite generous, I thought, dropping him £7 for his last two starts, given I'm not convinced he quite likes going right-handed. He's really unexposed, and I think he'll love the trip on the ground.
Okay, some interesting thoughts there about the bit of mental work for Mr. Incredible, Robbie. I'm sure you've had some selections over the years. You might need a bit of guidance where the winning line is.
Just a bit, mate. I mean, how'd you get into that line of work? Horse psychologist. I mean, what we're doing right is niche. That's even more niche. I'd have to agree with Harry on Cadell. Just before I looked at prices, I thought he'd be much closer to Dare to Shout in the betting. And there's quite a big gap between them. So I think he's the way to go. He's obviously always had quite a big reputation, even though Ronnie Bartlett has sold him since he was pulled up in the Edinburgh National. But I mean, he's just been contesting different class races to this one. It's quite a disappointing turnout overall. I mean, he wasn't the only horse pulled up in that Edinburgh National. There was about 8 or 9 of them were. It was a quite attritional race, but he's off the back of 48 days off. Nice break. He's not going to bump into horse like Handstands like he did at Sandown in the Eastern Overseas Chase. He's off 128. I think that's a good mark. And I think he's, well, probably the most likely. I could see him coming right in, to be honest. I think Dare to Shout looks a bit too short.
Okay, two shouts for Cadell. Brett, you're going to complete the hat-trick?
Yeah, I am. It's unanimous, I think. I really do think Cadell's got a cracking chance in this, as you've already alluded to. You know, you can ignore that run in the Edinburgh National. It was perhaps just a step too far. You know, they're slog of the races, aren't they? They just sort of step back down ever so slightly in triple suit, down a little bit in the weights as well. I think it's significant that Ronnie Bartlett has sold the horse, but Lucinda Russell has obviously kept him for some new owners. That's got to be, I think, crucial in itself. And as you say, if you look at that run behind Handstands at Sandown, that was on very soft ground in the muddling sort of race. But no, I think I've always followed him. He's a point to point winner, so he's a smart horse in his own right. And we have got a price boost in that race, so if you're on Cadell, you will get some decent odds. But no, I think pretty much across the board, Cadell for us three anyway.
Let's move on to the 150 at Kelsover Ladbrokes. Big value, you can bet on Mayor's Hurdle, a cracking looking race. This we've got Why Not just getting about even money at the minute. Might just go into odds on the day. Interested to see what Brett thinks of the price of Why Not. Who is your favourite here? Ottozini at 5s, Gail Mallor 6-1, Sacre Coeur 8s, La Vida Avida at 10s, and My Lady Electra, I think it's pronounced, 150-1 rank outsider. Why not, Robbie? Why not?
Yeah, why not indeed, James? I think she just wins. She's got the best form in the field. She easily beat her biggest rival, Ottozini, last time. I don't see any reason why that form will be reversed. A couple of these look a little bit out of their depth for this level. She's an improving mare, and by my reckoning, probably the highest rated horse running all weekend by a way. And I think even money's pretty fair, to be honest. But having said that, I'm not really itching to back her.
Okay. Brett?
Again, everything Rob has just said, there's very few chinks in her armour. She's miles clear on ratings, is Why Not. And if she can get a nice, easy lead out in front, which is probably quite likely, she could be very hard to peg back. Again, we've got a price boost in this race, so you will get some enhanced odds. I mean, look at Henry Daly's strike rate at Cal, so 29%, you know, which is not to be sniffed at in the last couple of years. And as I said, she does very much set the standards. She didn't disgrace herself at Doncaster as well last time. There's just one other we should throw into the mix. I mean, she's the biggest sort of price. Sacre Coeur. I was looking the last sort of time this horse ran in a race like this over hurdles was in the Elite Hurdle back in 2023. So, you know, it was quite an interesting move for Dan Scouten to run Sacre Coeur in this race. But no, I think why not? Why not? My local pub is called the Why Not just down the road. And it's named after Grand National winner back in 1872 or something like that. So there's a bit more useless information for you.
Wow. Perhaps we'll be all heading there after the 150 at Kelsa. Harry, just before we get stuck into your selection, obviously newcomer for the podcast, every tipster has their own style. Your style, you've told me before, is you always want to try and get these favourites beat. Is that sure your approach, isn't it, to going into a race? Is that the approach you'd take for this race?
Yeah, I do like to take on favourites when I can, James. But you've got to, sometimes you've got to bite the bullet and say the wine looks really solid. I did think the only question mark was Sacre Coeur, as Brett mentioned. But she's an avid front runner. She does like to go at her own pace. And Why Not, I think, is at her best when she's dominating from the front. I don't know how she'll react to not getting an easy lead, but I do think she wins.
Okay, we're all thinking the favourite's going to be tough to beat. Let's move on to the 225 at Kelso, the Ladbrokes. Go North Cab on Target Handicap. Hurdle cracking betting heat this, as it is across all 3 days of the Go North series. And your favourite is I Am Max at 5-1. Ballyfort 6s, Nordic Tiger 8-1, Harper Valley 10s, Ashington 10s, and Foster's Fortunes 11s. Let's come back to you, Robbie. What do you like?
Yeah, I quite like Nordic Tiger for Harry Durham. Just basically, he's been running on bad ground throughout the winter. It's a good ground horse. Ended his last season really well, actually. Won 3 of his last 4. The only horse who beat him, a horse called Collars on Canvas, won off £10 higher in October. He's come down to a nice mark. I think crucially, he was running at a time where Harry Durham's horses were struggling. We know there was a lot went wrong at the stables. It was flooded and stuff. He's come right down the weights. He's only six. He qualified for this race in January, sort of ran three quick races in succession over the course of a month to get his mark down. I just think Durham's in superb form now. And I think he's just very much capable of winning off this mark. And Alice Stevens is capable of claiming a full £3 this time. She wasn't last time. So, yeah, I think he's got a good itch-way chance.
What's the like about Nordic Tiger? Brett?
Yeah, this is, as you said, this is a wide open competitive race. We are paying five places each way in this, which just makes it a little bit easier. I was just sort of going down the horse I selected, I thought would be a lot more prominent in the market, but I've gone down. Saver is a horse I quite like, number two on the card, around sort of 14, 16 to one shot with Unibet. I just think it's quite interesting, you know, unexposed sort, you know, improving on the upgrade, a bumper winner, so it's got a fair bit of pace as well. Benjamin Macy, obviously a decent jockey for a £7 claim. That's, I think, going to be crucial in a race like this. He's got a good strike rate at the course, was good second last time. I think John Joe's, we'll see, I did write it down, 45% strike rate at Calso, which is, again, not a bad percentage rate. So, yeah, I mean, in a race it's wide open, you can make a case for quite a few of them. Saver, number two, I think that's the correct pronunciation, could be the one to side with each way.
Yep, and finally, Harry.
Yeah, amazingly, from 16 runners, me and Robert landed on the same one. I think Nordic Tiger's probably my best bet of the day. He, as all the reasons that Rob's outlined. But yeah, when he won his last start at Southall, he beat a horse who won next time out as well. I was sort of expecting him to carry on progressing this season, but apart from his reappearance when he was entitled to need the run, he's actually been held up as well on soft ground, and he's much better racing prominently. And those sort of horses really suit Kelso. So yeah, Nordic Tiger is one of my best bets of the day.
Okay, we've been teased as to what Harry Wilson's nap could be later in the show. I'll have to find out at the very end, just for full confirmation. As we move on to our penultimate race, we'll be looking at Kelso, the 3 o'clock, the Ladbrokes Herring Queen Series final Mares Novices Handicap hurdle. What a mouthful. This race has been won by a few horses coming from the south. And we've got two potentially who could do it in Northern Air and Walker Dina this year. Surrey Blue, though, is the favourite at fives. Walker Dina at sixes, as is Northern Air. Barra Ball at 15 to 2. Game Colours at 10s. Lizzie Luna at 12s. And Rula Bula at 12 to 1. Brett, what do you like?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, Surrey Bal is the one that sets the standards off the back of those two decisive victories. You know, she this is obviously a big step up for her. So she's, you know, she has got to show the top weight here. She's a front runner. Whether she does get quite an easy lead, I think, is questionable, because the Harry Down horse Barra Ball also likes to sit quite prominent. So there could be quite a lot of pace on which may set it up for a finisher. But on the form we've seen so far, I think it does very much revolve around those two. We are playing four places in this race. I'm, you know, at the price, I'm probably going to go with Barra Ball for Harry Derriman and Alice Stevens. She's, as you already said, she's got a good chance early on in the card. But, you know, I think the good ground will suit is another horse that's coming gradually through the ranks. And you just think there just might be a little bit more improvement from Barra Ball as opposed to Surrey Ball. It may just sort of just reach the ceiling with that one. And instead, a decent claim as well for Alice Stevens. So it's a Barra Ball for me in what's going to be probably quite a tactical race.
Robbie?
Yeah, quite a lot of Game Colours here for Ben Clark. Something I always do when I'm looking at a race is I manipulate the race, those pro cards. I do different filters. So I filter RPR, adjusted RPRs and top speed. And I just thought it was interesting, Game Colours comes out top on top speed and adjusted RPRs, and she's floating around double figures. So just a big improver, essentially. Completely bossed a Lingfield novice hurdle, beat Rula Bula, who was odds on that day, really easily. That horse has sort of gone backwards, but I think Game Colours just looks a big improver. Last time she raced on good ground, she also ran a career best at Fakenham. She's taken big leaps forward of each start. I wouldn't be worried about this quicker surface. Dan was a good to firm winner twice on the flat. Just think this sort of strongly run 2 miles is going to see it to best effect, and I don't think she'll be far away.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Ben Clark's first runners at Kelso this weekend, and Robbie thinks Game Colours could give him a first winner as well. Finish yourself, Harry.
Yeah, Dame Cullors has definitely got a chance. I look to her as well. But I've landed on Walker Dina for the Pipe team. She struck me as a serious prospect when she thumped Sunset Marquesa. Obviously, it's come out and won twice since. I was actually at Newbury when she ran in that listed race against Listen to Your Heart. And well, I thought she'd look the winner until sort of smashing through the last. So I'm willing to let her have that one. The next run, obviously, I don't think she was right. She'd had wind surgery and a prep run since. I expect her to be in tip-top shape for this, and she could have a little bit in hand. I think she's quite classy. So I'd go with Walker Dina.
Yes, Harry, I agree with you on that selection. We'll find out later this weekend whether that's good or bad. Let's move on to the last race we're looking at Kelso, the 3:35, the Ladbrokes. Boost your Bet Builder handicap chase, where we've got Flash de Pistolet at 11-4 favourite, Escape and Evade at 100-30, Bollinger and Krug at 4s, Gold the Boy at 4s, and Lively Citizen 13-2. Duty Calls, the rank outsider at 16-1. Robbie, what do you like?
Yeah, tricky, isn't it? Very trappy. I'd give basically all of them a bit of a chance. I thought the one I most liked, I'm not necessarily going to back him, was Gold Des Bois. 11 years old now, but is on quite a good mark. Just think it's horses for courses sort of case, really. I mean, at Kelso on good soft ground, he's got form figures of 1-2-6, 3-1-1-2. Can draw a line for his latest run at Musselburgh on New Year's Day. He's never been a 2-mile-4 horse. He's never really liked soft grounds. He's pulled up. That was a class 2. He's down to class 4 again. And Raymond Anderson Green loves to have sort of winners on these big Scottish meetings. So I thought he could go well. And he's not been with Sandy Thompson for long. And Thompson, he started his career off really brightly for Thompson in the autumn. If he gets back on track from that after 80 days off, I think he's got a big chance.
Okay, Harry.
Yeah, I must admit, when I was I looked at this race without any prices, and Gold Des Bois drew my eye initially, but I can't have him in cheap pieces. I've got no idea why they put the cheap pieces back on. He's run terribly every time he's worn them. So I've ended up going for Flash de Pistolet, who I am really surprised is favourite, considering he's only won one start over fences. But I really liked how he jumped and he settled last time, front running for the first time. He's run well on both his visits to Kelso, including losing to Walk on Quest, who won his next three. I don't think he'd be fazed by the drop in trip, and good ground suits him. So I'm going to have to pump for the favourite, I think, Flash de Pistolet.
Okay, and finally, Brett.
It's funny, isn't it, listening to Robin Harris' sort of assessments of this race, because even I've written very trappy. It's just trying to find something that you think can win. They're all much of a muchness. They're all in a similar sort of form. I've narrowed it down to Escape and Evade, primarily because he's a dual course winner. He's well handicapped. He's linked down to 120. He has won off 128 there before, so you can make a case for him. It's a very, very tracky race. We have got a price boost in it, so that helps you out a little bit. James Ewart, who trained Escape and Evade, has been in the winner's enclosure this week. Had a winner up at Haydock yesterday. He's got a 33% strike rate at the track. So in a race where you can make a case for quite a few of them, you know, that's enough for me, really.
Okay. We will be heading to Wales next, but after this quick break. Okay, our second meeting we're looking at this weekend is at Bangor. One race we'll be looking at there. This is Alpha Aggregates Products Handicap Hurdle over 2 mile, 3.5 a furlong, where we don't have any markets in, but it's a pretty cracking looking contest, isn't it? Class 2 event, lots you could give a chance to. Robbie Wilders, what do you think is going to win though?
Yeah, it's one of those where you don't really want to commit to something massively until you've seen prices, but I thought this concerned two horses. I'm not sure about Nosrit, who looks like he might be the early favourite on his stable debut from Nicky Emerson. I wonder if he might need it. He's not been seen since August, and I wonder if they're building towards Aintree for him. Just thought Von der Rock, first of all, was very interesting. This is a massive drop in class, essentially. He's been running in grade twos all season. This time last year, he was a massively impressive chase winner at Kelso in the Premier. RPR of 161. He's running off 143, and he's got Lewis Saunders taking £7 off. I think Lewis Saunders isn't a bad jockey one bit, so I wouldn't be concerned that Sean Bowen's riding the other Ollie Murphy horse. And I've got my own Gentleman Bill for Oliver Green or Josh Guerrero. I think he could go well. Really good horse in bumpers. He easily beat Battle Born Lads, who came out and won the Prestige at Haydock this season impressively. He was just caught for a bit of speed in the Moor Battle last time. He's never really been a two-miler. He's open to a lot more improvement over this sort of intermediate distance. And the only time really he's run over this distance, he was a pretty good second to horse called Jarev Demi, who won by absolutely miles for Willie Mullins yesterday. So I think he's on a pretty decent mark. Can't have it between those two, but we'll see what the prices do.
What's your assessment, Harry?
Yeah, well, Robbie's made it a two-horse race. I make it a three-horse race because I've gone with Thunderrock Stablemate, the 4/6s. I'm not really too bothered about who's riding him. Obviously, Sean Bowen, championship chaser. It's not bad to have him on your horse. But I think I have a feeling he's going to be a bit disrespected in the market given his form figures. Like fell to, pulled up, unseated, pulled up. Doesn't exactly scream winner. But he went back over hurdles last time and he was sent so far clear. He's like 15 lengths clear by the time he like jumped the seventh and he was just never going to sustain that pace. They're dropping him back in trip, getting back on better ground. He placed twice off this mark last year and I just think he could be a bit better than this lot, to be honest. I think he's a bit better than he's showing us.
As we say, we're still waiting for prices as of time of recording on Thursday afternoon, but hopefully these will all be nice prices for us come the weekend. Brett, your final thoughts?
Yeah, good offer here with Unibet. If you back the second or the third, you're going to get your money back as cash. To be honest, I think that it all revolves very much around Thunder Rock. I mean, you can see why obviously Ollie's got the £7 claimer on for anyone who's carrying top weight. I was looking at this horse's form. He hasn't run over hurdles in a handicap since the EBF final at Standdown three or four years ago, back in 2022. He's rated much lower over hurdles. He is by far the class horse in the race. You know, if he's on a going day, because he's not ungenuine, but if all things bode well for him and he gets all the brakes in the right places, he is the class horse and he should win it. I did speak to Nicky about half an hour ago about all of his runners on Saturday and asked him about Nusret. He said they've tinkered with his wind. He said he does make quite a noise. So he has got wind issues. He does think this trip, first time out, would be just a little bit too far. I wouldn't be having Nusret at all, to be honest. I'm not sure what price he'll go off in the end, but I'd say save him for another day. Also, Henderson's record at Banger this season is very, very poor. He's had six runners and they've all finished nowhere in the money. So no positives for Nusret. I think it all revolves around Thunder Rock, in, as I said, in the race where we are money back second or third.
Let's head to Newbury. We've got three live races to look at on ITV. And the first is the 205, the Get Best Odds Guaranteed at Bet Victor Novices Handicap Hurdle. Look competitive this with Alexei at 9-2, favourite for the Tizards. Glenbrae, 11-2. Not Iron and Bocali at 6-1. Oh My Johnny, 13-2. And Cali Mystic at 9-1. Let's go straight back to you, Brett. What do you like in Newbury's first race on the box?
Well, from 9 o'clock on Saturday, we will be best industry price in this. So you will get those best odds. For those of you who may know me, I do a lot of work with James and Gene Potter, and they've got Calamistic here, who's a half brother to Angel's Breath. He's not going to be as good as he was, but he's gradually progressing quite nicely. He was impressive up at Doncaster last time. That was a good win. There's only been one horse that's come out and run since then and finished place. The rest of them haven't even run. The form of his second behind George's Lad, I don't think is that bad, actually, because he ran very well in the final Sandland last week before falling. He's a very progressive horse, and I think he could go well. He's around 8-1 with Unibet, which isn't a bad price each way. Nicky again, because James Bowen's been riding him in all of his runs. The reason Nico's on board is because they've just realised about that David Power jockey's cup, and they realise he's in third and he actually could get a few more points up. So that's the reason why Nico's riding and not James Bowen. But no, I mean, probably heart ruling head a little bit here, James, but I'm gonna hope that Callum Stick can do the job.
Well, chasing some cash is Nico de Bonneville, of course, a huge sum on offer with only a few weeks to go now before we find out who's going to win that huge pot. Robbie, what's going to win you a huge pot?
Well, I hope I'm getting a huge pot. I tipped this Norn Iron at 20-1 at the start of the week. I'm thinking this was a race that could cut up. It has cut up. Excited with that position. Another Durham horse. I mean, Durham could have a big weekend, but he's got quite an interesting profile, this horse. Ran a cracker on his only start in Newbury over 2 miles, pulled well clear of the third. Going down narrowly to a horse called Buckephalus, who's rated £16 higher now, come out on one really impressively since. And then I thought he was quite an eye catcher, went back into favourite at Doncaster this month. That was a bit of a messy race. There were omitted hurdles in the final straight, and he sort of had to switch around runners. Johnny Burke didn't really have anywhere to go for quite a while, and just all a bit too late for him. I think he's open to improvement for this slightly longer trip. As I say, Durham's horses are absolutely flying at the moment. He's got Paul O'Brien on board now, and I think he's got a cracking chance.
Harry, what's your thinking?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, James, to hear you not list my one in the prices. I've gone with Serious Challenge for Fergal O'Brien. I like horses who show improvement on each start, and he's improved his RPR with each start. Last time he beat a horse of Gordon Elliott's, who was rated 125. All right, the Gordon Elliott horse might not run to his mark, but it still makes a mark of 128. Looked quite good for this handicap debut. Very, very classy animal on the flat for Jim Bulger. Rated 100. Only in May got beat 5 lengths by Kyprios. If there's a horse who's got a little bit in hand, if not a lot in hand of their mark, it could be this one, especially going over a longer trip. So I'd go with Serious Challenge.
Harry's not even done a full show and he's called out the host, which I like to see. let's move on to the second race at Newbury. The Bet Victor, home of the Saturday Super Boost Handicap Chase over 2 mile 4. We spoke at the top of the show about horses that might need a bit of help and guidance and stuff. Well, I might need it when it comes to good old Son Seagal. He is the second favourite here. I thought he was the favourite this morning. Favourite is Bob Ricard at 4-1. Son Seagal, 9-2. He was a good winner here earlier this season, though, it should be said. Theatre Man, 6-1. Scarface, 7-1. Imagine and Matterhorn at 10s. Harry, what do you like?
Yeah, you've already given him the big talk. It's Saint Seagal. I'm a big fan as well. I really liked his win here in December, I think it was, when he changed the front running tactics. He's run quite big races in defeat, I thought, the last twice, especially when third in the Greatwood Gold Cup on ground that would have been soft enough for him. This race is a lot weaker, and I think he's got the beating of the Buxy, their spies or whatever he's called, through the line through the Kaluki kid. Obviously, the Kaluki is very progressive. He was giving him weight when he lost, whereas Buxy Despise was in receipt. I think he was favourite when I was looking at the race. So I'll go with Saint Seagal. I think course and distance suits and ground will be in his favour.
Robbie, were you in the same camp?
No. I think Black Jerry's going to go well at a nice price here. He's just come down to a very interesting mark. November 2023, he was running in the Paddy Power behind Stage Star of 142. He's down to 123. The Moors have got him quite nicely handicapped. Basically, he pulled up at Kempton last time, but he's pulled up at Kempton in February in 2024 and 2023, and then ran huge races a month or two later. I mean, after that pulling up in 2023, he won by 5 lengths in April at Ascot, RPR of 137. And last season, pulled up the unhigh stakes player in April at Plumpton. He was a really good second to Scarface, RPR of 135. Yeah, he's down to 123. If Gary Moore has got him back and the yard are going much better now, and the ground is looking like it's going to be in his favour, he's a good ground horse. So I think he's one to watch for sure. And Tom Cannon, when he's ridden for Geraint and Josh Moore, he's got a pretty good record. Cannon was aboard for Black Jerry's best run last season at Plumpton this time of year. So I could see a very big run from Black Jerry.
Yeah, Robbie Wilders does like a Gary Moore horse that's well handicapped, don't you, Robbie? So
just a bit, mate, yeah. Editor of the Geek retired now. Shout out to him if he's listening.
Yes, and your legion of fans who have supported you have edited one of the great stars of the yard over the last few years. Brett, finish us off. Where are you looking at?
I'm looking at Unibet Super Boost to start with in this. Risking the Ground is also I like for the Scoutons. Just look at his form and you just sort of get the feeling, not of course he's always trying, but you know he's been running some sort of slightly better races in this. He ran in the Unibet Kingmaker at Warwick and then he was at Huntingdon last time on softish ground. He's down to a nice workable mark, I think, of 1.28. The good ground should suit him, and I can sort of I can make a bit of a case for him. He's around sort of 8-1, so I wouldn't put you off him. I like Imagine as well. Stepping back down in trip, I know he ran. He's been running over marathon trips his last couple of starts behind Mr. Vangel, of course, at Haydock, one of them, and that form has worked out pretty well. Winning the Midlands National last week, cheap pieces for the first time. You know, you can make a case for him and Balu as well. Nicky said he's got to have fast ground, which he's got there. Hasn't quite gone to plan for him in the last couple of starts this season. He's another one back off a winning mark off 130. So it's an open contest, but so we're just going to stick with risking the ground for the scouting team.
Final race is a 3:15 at Newbury. We're going to switch up. Robbie Wilders, you'll take us away for this one.
Yeah, do you know what, mate? I've always wanted to read out prices. It's been a lifetime dream of mine, and now I get my chance. So we are going 5-1, Jasmine Bliss, 5-1, Seal Gill, 10-1, Clotilda, La Pensionnaire, Roxtown Girl, 11-1, Crazy Even Daisy, and it's 14-1 bar. And my selection is in the bar category. That is Scarlet O'Tara for Richard Newland and Jamie Insull. Really interesting horse coming off a 97-day break. Ran at Carlisle in a potential qualifier when last seen. Bit of a red flag that she bled through the nose that day. But she's been given time to get over that. I imagine connection has been working back from this target ever since. And on her previous form on good ground, which it will be, really progressive last season. Won three of her last four. The only horse to beat her in that time frame was Flying Fortune, who came out and won the Persian War against the Gelding Sids. Signed off her year before Carlisle with a good victory over Royal Margeau, who's a listed winner now. So I think if the Newland and Jamie Insull team have got her back, I think she's a massive player. She's got a bit of class about her. Could be campaigned at a high level before long, out of handicaps, I'd say. And a lot of these, I wouldn't think that comment applies to.
Lovely job, Robbie. A dream come true as well. Just to clarify, this is a 3:15 at Newbury to bet Victor. Mayor's novice hurdle, a grade two. Harry?
Yeah, James. I shortlisted this down to three horses. Scarlet O'Tara was one of them. Did concern me that she bled last time, though, so I went against her. At a massive price, I'd give Pismo Beach for Stuart Edmonds a shout. She's been really eye-catching in two of her qualifying runs the last twice, and it wouldn't surprise me if she shaped really well on her handicap debut here. But I'm hoping that Fergal O'Brien and Johnny Buck are going to have a good day because I've gone with Seal Gio. She showed good level of form in her bumpers and her debut win over Surrey Bell. She's won twice since. She runs today or on Saturday as well. I think she's just been in need of a stiffer stamina test. She's been running over 2 miles and staying on in her races once being outpaced. I'm sure this trip will suit. So it'd be Seog Giao for me.
Okay. And finally, Brett, I think we've got three Nick Henson runners in here. Anything you can give us?
Well, obviously, the shortest price of those is La Pensionnaire, who's actually £7 better off in the weights with Jasmine Bliss on that run at Solo. We're paying five places each way here. I agree with Harry about Sunderfield O'Brien and May. You know, stepping up in ship, I think, could definitely bring out a little bit of improvement from her. I remember I was sitting in the pub, the Why Not, and I got a text stream when this horse made its debut for them at Ancient and Bumper and said, this is an absolute certainty. So obviously I got on and she finished second. She probably got left a little bit too much to do, but anyway, that's by the by. I think Jasmine Bliss probably is the one they've got to catch on form. You know, she looked very, very smart. The cheap pieces might just eke out a little bit from La Pin Sonnier, but to me, I'm not entirely convinced that she does quite stay 2.5. She travelled really nicely at Southern and just didn't find much off the bridle. So, you know, the jury's out with regards to distance for her. But no, I think Selgal's the one they've probably got to catch. Crazier Than Daisy, he says she wants a bit softer ground. So that's his thoughts on her as well.
Yeah, of course, in the colours that she carried to Chapman Festival victory last week, Crazier Than Daisy. And we will be giving our best bets after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so let's move on to the final part of the show. Before we go on to our best bets, we're just going to see what our panellists like away from the ITV cameras. Robbie Wilders is sitting out. He's got plenty of winners to keep him occupied during Saturday afternoon, we hope. Harry, what is your eye drawn to?
Yeah, as you know, James, I'm a big fan of the all-weather. We've got a couple of evening cards at Wolverhampton and Newcastle. I'm off to Wolverhampton, the 4.53. It's a 5 furlong handicap where I think New York's state of mind takes some beating off top weight. He hasn't been seen for 149 days, but he won his reappearance last year off 150-day break over course and distance off this exact mark. And he goes well at Wolverhampton. He goes especially well fresh, which is why I'm drawn to him. And I think he'll take some beating off top weight for Ruth Carr. So that's New York state of mind in the 4.53 at Wolverhampton.
Perfect. Brett, you've got some offers for us. Sum up what we've got to look forward to this weekend. And if anything's caught your eye.
Yeah, obviously go on to unibet.co.uk for all of the offers. I'll just spin through them quickly for you, get the main ones in. In the 2.25 at Kelso, we're paying 5 places each way, 4 places each way in the 3 o'clock at Kelso. Money back second or third in that sole race from Banger on ITV. That's a 1.35. And then we've got best industry price in the first race at Newbury, 2.05. But in the 3.50, there's a really interesting filly running here called Lasting Love. I was just drawn primarily because it's in the colours of Doreen Table, those black and white silks. And making its debut for Faye Bramley, it sort of was an 80-rated maiden on the flat. Makes its hurdles debut. You know, obviously very well bred, as you'd expect. I think the dams are have sister to Golan and Tartan Bearer. Just think it's quite interesting. So last in love, I'm obviously be interested to find out what they do with it, but there aren't many sort of debutantes you see over hurdles at this time of year for the table clan. So last in love could be interesting in the 3.50 at Newbury.
Fascinating. We'll see how that one goes on in the last. Let's move on to our best bets. And Harry, as you are our newcomer, you get the luxury of going first.
Yeah, so I've gone to Kelso, James, for mine that. Talked him up nicely earlier. I'm going with Nordic Tiger in the 2.25. He's been running on the wrong ground, being held up as well when he likes to race prominently. He's dropped to a really nice mark. Alice Stevens, who's been on board for all his wins, is back on board today, and everything looks in place for a really good run.
I'm going to go for Alexei, the first at Newbury, the 2.05. His horse actually won a charity race on the flat at the start of the season. He's got some cracking form on quicker ground, and I think he's going to take a bit of beating, even though he's got quite a big weight to concede. Robbie?
3 o'clock at Kelso, James. Game colours for me.
Okay, and Brett?
I'm going to go for Siagir. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation, but it's number 6 in the 3.15. The mare's final at Newbury. I think the step-up in trip will definitely suit her. She is a point-to-point winner. Form looks strong. She beat Surrey Ball at Catrick. That's since come out and won 2 races. She, of course, runs at Kelso, so there could be a strong form line there. So, Fergal O'Brien, Johnny Burt, number 6 in the 3.15 at Newbury.
Perfect. Thank you very much to our panelists. And if you're watching along on YouTube, to the right of me is Robbie Wilders, bottom corner, Brett Williams and Harry Wilson, the newcomer who's done a sterling job on his first go. Do, if you do enjoy the shows, do as ever, rate, review and subscribe, because Flat fans, it's the Lincoln next week. We are going to be turning our attention to Flat. It's come around way too quickly. Still got the Grand National to come, so fear not. So do join us again at Thursday at 7 p.m. We'll be looking at that as well as some quality jumps action to come over the next few weeks. But for this weekend, enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.